Support for this broadcast of Two Rivers 30 Minutes comes in part from a grant from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes.
From TubeCityOnline.com, this is Two Rivers 30 Minutes, a weekly series of interviews with people making news around the McKeesport area. Produced by Tube City Community Media Incorporated, a nonprofit corporation. I'm Jason Toger, the executive director. On this show, we talk one-on-one with elected officials, community leaders, and others who are trying to make a difference in the Monongahela area. And we also take your questions and comments on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.
Hi, this is Adam Reinhurst, a reporter with Tube City Almanac. I'm sitting in for Jason Toger, host of Two Rivers 30 Minutes. And today I have the distinct pleasure of welcoming Superintendent Don McFan. Superintendent McFan is the superintendent of McKeesport Area School District, and he has agreed to join us today for a very lovely chat about education and the exciting things he's seen so far since coming to the district. Superintendent McFan, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Well, good evening, and thank you.
Why don't you tell us what you've seen so far in the... Well, actually, let's begin here. When was your start date officially?
My start date officially was March 3rd. I was hired, I believe, the middle of, I think it was the 16th of January, to be specific. But yeah, I started up at the district March 3rd.
Great. So in the last 5 weeks or so, what have you seen?
I have to say it's been a great opportunity. I'm very impressed and very reassured. There are some very dynamic individuals. The administrators that I've worked with so far, both central office and building level, are just truly dynamic. From what I have seen in my first 6 weeks, I can tell you they truly put kids first at McKeesport, and that's refreshing. And, you know, with that being said, the other thing that I'm very impressed with, a lot of those items that I bring, or I'd like to think I bring, is as far as curriculum, instruction, assessments, I have found that there are some a great deal of people at McKeesport that already have the same knowledge I have, and that is very refreshing. It's very exciting. It really is, I have to say. I'm truly happy to be here.
You know, so much of what people were excited about when you took this position on was your commitment not only to students' education, but to communication. And one of the things that I've heard, you know, in recent school board meetings is that you are doing a phenomenal job with communication, so much so that people are like, wait a second, we're getting too much communication. Tell me a little bit about how the role of communication plays into the role of education.
Well, the one thing I've always believed in is communication is key. And I mean, not to sound redundant, but that's the truth. It is. And, you know, one of the things that I was taught and one of the things I've practiced throughout my entire career, 30 years, is, you know, there's two ways to look at communications. You got your, as I like to say, your horizontal communication and your vertical communication. When I speak of horizontal communication, that is everybody within the school. You know, from the part-time bus driver all the way up to the president of the school board and everybody in between. And if everybody's on board with what you're telling them or they're fully aware of what's going on in the district, well, that's half the battle in meeting that vertical communication. And now we're talking about everybody from your local state representatives, if not your federal representatives, once again, all the way down to the newest parent or guardian who's just moved into the district. And if everybody's on board and everybody's communicating with one another and they're being given that information in a timely manner, well, nothing but positivity can happen, you know, for the kids, for the teachers, for the staff, for the students. And that's what I'm striving to do.
As a school leader, how do you ensure that everyone's on board with that vision for communication?
Well, once again, you know, making certain that what comes to me goes to the school board members. What comes from me initially goes to the school board members and putting it out to the community. You have resources up at McKeesport that allows me to actually reach out to all of our parents or guardians within the district. And with that being said, when I send it out, then I have the building level principals send it out as well. You know, and even to go the step further, when we look at our Latino community that McKeesport has, when those messages are sent out through our school messenger system, at the same time we send it to our translators who then put that that written communication into alternative languages so everybody can understand. And that's what we're trying to do.
That's great. Tell me about some of the challenges that you've encountered in the first 5 weeks.
I have to say, you know, when you ask me about challenges, I look at what's going on at McKeesport, and I see positive things. You know, when I look at the scores at within the district at all levels, I think that's a challenge. I think we need to improve our test scores. I think the opportunity is there to do that. You know, I look at the data that has already been collected, and it's spot on with what I would have done if it wasn't collected in coming in here. I think right now it's just a matter of looking at what curriculums, what instructional strategies we can do to meet the individual groups. When we look at education in the 21st century, unlike maybe when I was there decades ago, you had somewhat of a homogeneous grouping in every classroom. Maybe there was one or two groups in a large group of 25 that you taught to. That is not the case anymore in public education. Right now, you take a group of 25, 30 kids, you may have to deliver instruction 4 to 6 different ways to truly meet those students' academic needs. It just comes with the territory with, you know, the changing demographics within our society.
Tell me more about differentiating instruction specifically within McKeesport. And I ask that also, maybe this is an opportunity for you to tell us more about your own background and the different institutions that you've served prior to McKeesport.
Well, I mean, prior to coming to McKeesport, upon graduating from what was California University, now Penn West, you know, I was fortunate enough to right out of college land a job teaching alternative ed and special ed at Clareton Education Center. Probably the best learning opportunity I had when I was hired at Clareton. I was one of the first hires to be hired under the receivers who were running Clareton. It was under state control then. So you truly got firsthand knowledge of ways to adapt the curriculum, the instruction, the assessment to meet the needs of the kids there academically. Upon leaving Clareton, I went to East Allegheny School District. Was another great opportunity. Most recently, I was at a school up in southern Washington County, Bethlehem Center School District, about 35 miles away. And now I'm here at McKeesport. I think to answer your question, though, Adam, I think most importantly, any educator, any superintendent, any administrator, you have to truly have the belief that all kids can learn, and they can. And we've proven that over time, you know, over decades, if not centuries, that all kids can learn. You just simply have to understand in the 21st century, all kids can learn, but some require a different rate or pace. Some require different instructional opportunities. You know, some require assessments that meet their needs. And that's one of the things I like to look at, looking at that data and seeing how we can manipulate or differentiate the curriculum they get, the rigor of that curriculum, so we know we're getting as much out of these students as possible. The instructional techniques, the delivery, like I mentioned, the rate and pace that instruction is delivered within the classroom by these teachers. And of course, the assessments. And sometimes that's the part that's overlooked the most at a lot of school districts that are struggling with academic success. Because if the students, as well as the parents and guardians, do not understand how these assessments are being handled at a standardized level, what is the terminology involved with these assessments? What are the rubrics involved with these assessments? What type of questioning, such as a Bloom's taxonomy, are they knowledge-based, comprehension-based, analytically-based? That has to be understood by the kids taking the test as well as the parents at home if you're truly going to differentiate and help these kids understand how to be more successful than they are or give them what they need to be successful. I hope that makes sense. I just said a lot, but I get it if nobody else does.
You're doing great. And, this is Adam Reinhers. I'm filling in for Jason Tozier, and we're speaking with Superintendent Don McFan. And we're going to take a quick break.
Support for this broadcast comes from the City of McKeesport Fair Housing Office. Fair housing is your right, and the Fair Housing Act prohibits discrimination in housing because of race, color, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, family status, or disability. That includes renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. For more information about Fair Housing Act protections in the city of McKeesport, call 412-675-5020, extension 635.
This is Adam Reinhers. I'm filling in for Jason Tozier. We're here today on Two Rivers 30 Minutes, speaking with Superintendent Don McFan, Superintendent of McKeesport Area School District. And before we took a break, Superintendent McFan was telling us about differentiated instruction and the relationship between students, teachers, families, and the district. And Superintendent McFan, thank you again for agreeing to chat with us today. What I'm hoping maybe you'll tell us a little bit more is this relationship you were speaking about, that relationship between families, between the district, between the community.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at any you look at any school district, you have to have a supportive learning community. I mean, you want to reach out, and once again, going back to what we mentioned about communication. You know, if the communication is delivered appropriately, not only from the administration, but more so from the teacher to the student, to the home, to the parent or guardian, and then if that communication is delivered appropriately, then it comes back from the parent or guardian through the student to the teacher, and that's when you truly have a supportive learning community. That's when you see people truly get involved in the education which is taking place within the classroom, because it stems into the home, and it's more than just, okay, here's our homework, let's do it. Once again, from the teacher to the student, to the parent and back. You know, and one of the things I found, you know, if you do that and it's done correctly and teachers are given the professional development that motivates them to communicate in that manner, then you get more parents, you get more guardians, you get more community involvement, where people volunteer their times, for PTA or PTO or booster organizations which support the students. You know, if you build those relationships through positive communication, you're going to have partnering. You're going to have more businesses in town, which, you know, or within the communities you live, through the Chamber of Commerce or a Rotary Club style system, whatever there is. But when people get the information, they're more apt to once again volunteer their time, form partnerships that may be nothing more than the opportunity for a kid to work during the summer and or possibly give them some form of scholarship through that particular business, as well as, and most importantly, the teaming aspect of it. Because you have to have a team-like mentality if you're ever going to get better. And I mean, we all know what that, you know, and I'm not trying to put something out there sports related, but once again, it's all about the team, and that's everybody involved. I spoke of that horizontal communication, that vertical communication. Everybody within the school, everybody within the community should know what's going on. And if they do, once again, you're going to build that positive learning community. You're going to have involvement. You're going to have volunteers. You're going to build partnerships. You're going to have a teaming aspect that involves people getting involved within the school. Maybe that's a design team where you focus on academic improvement, or maybe it's a community style team where you have people within each community within your district reaching out to the district for help to try and make things better. You know, so I mean, once again, I think it all boils down to communication and what's being communicated.
I'm Adam Reinhers in for Jason Tozier, and we're speaking with Superintendent McFan. Superintendent McFan, tell me more about how you serve as both a teammate and also as a leader, because as a school leader, I mean, you're the former athletic director. Are you more the coach? Are you more the quarterback? What role do you play?
Well, I mean, from a superintendent standpoint, you know, to be honest in answering that question, I could give you numerous answers, but what I've looked at and what I find to be most helpful is just simply assisting with professional development. And when I talk about professional development, it's what it's focused on. And if you help your administrators, if you help your teachers, your paraprofessionals, your parents, if you focus on three things primarily, beginning with the students, you know, once again, when I talk about the students, what can we actually do to help our kids get better? Academically, we can talk about curriculum instruction and assessment all day long and your standardized exams. But at the same time, you know, what can we do for pro-social growth? Once again, just look throughout the Mid-Mon Valley. You know, there is a major need for pro-social growth. You know, a lot of change within the Mon Valley. You know, so one thing is what can you do to help the students? More so, what can you do to meet the needs of the staff when I talk about professional development? You know, is it technology driven? Does it go back to, and I know I've said it time and time again, and I do every day, the curriculum, the integration of the instruction to meet the different learning styles, different learning, the needs you have in a particular classroom. And then once again, within the community, you know, when we look at careers, where do you want to try to guide students? It may be upper levels to reach out, to give them opportunities, you know, to motivate them to move forward. You know, so once again, I think I help as a superintendent with looking at the professional development for staff, for students, for parents, for guardians, not necessarily in that order. And when you combine that, you know, with the district's vision, where the district wants to go, you know, or where it is going and how they're going to get there, and more so, why do we need to go there? I think it all ties together. You know, I don't think you necessarily have to be the coach or the director. I think you just need to be a sound leader, listen, you know, and have faith in the people that's working for you, and guide them appropriately through that professional development.
I'm Adam Reinhers, filling in for Jason Tosher. We have the privilege today of speaking with Superintendent Don McFan of McKeesport Area School District. You mentioned pro-social behavior. Could you tell me, in the 5 weeks that you've been at the district, what you've seen that helps you better understand that here in the district?
Well, I think everybody needs to have an understand of it, no matter what district you go to, or, you know, what particular school you're in. You have to understand the cultural, culture. You have to have some cultural awareness of where you're at. What may be important to some may not be important to everybody, and you have to understand that. And I think as a teacher, as an educator, be it in the classroom or a building level leader, you have to understand that the goals, the values, the beliefs that you may have may not be the same goals, values, and beliefs as the students and the community members that you're serving. So sometimes you need to understand that. You need to adapt your style and understand how to reach them, how to make them understand, you know, academics, curriculum, behavior, by meeting, you know, meeting their cultural understanding, having a better understanding of the goals that they have, the beliefs and values that they have, and trying to pull people along without pushing them away.
You know, we're living in a pretty contentious moment in which it's harder and harder to create community and to build cohesion. Mm-hmm. How, as a superintendent, are you able to effectuate that? How can you actually bring people together and unite people in a mission of education when there are so many forces, both in person and digitally, that are just pulling us apart?
You know, from my standpoint, having experience in a number of different places within the Mid-Mon Valley, you know, I'd like to believe I'm adaptable. You know, in my career, I've had the opportunity to stand in front of 10,000 plus people and deliver a speech. And at the same time, I've had the opportunity to sit in meetings at the bottom of some of, you know, in the basements of public housing units, and try to discuss with community leaders on how we can separate some of the violence within the communities themselves between two or three different groups. So I'm able to adapt to a number of various situations based upon the experiences I've had. I think I'm flexible. As I mentioned earlier, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. You know, I like to communicate with people, and I like to, more so when I communicate, make sure they understand, you know, where I'm coming from, what I'm trying to share, how I'm trying to help the cause. You know, having a common goal and you know, functioning in a team-like atmosphere.
I'm Adam Reinhurst filling in for Jason Tozier. We're speaking with Superintendent Don McFan of the McKeesport Area School District.
Support for this broadcast comes from Striffler's Family Funeral Homes. Since 1866, Striffler's has provided compassionate professional memorial services for families at White Oak, McKeesport, Dravosburg, Portview, and the surrounding areas. Striffler's offers comprehensive pre-planning services and aftercare. And through its affiliated company Design Monuments, Striffler's also provides permanent markers and memorials crafted in stone, bronze, and other high-quality materials. Learn more at strifflers.com or call 412-678-6191.
Superintendent McFan, you and I both know that test scores are one piece of the puzzle, but how are you measuring your own success as a school leader?
That's a tough question. That's a really good question. You have to go in with the understanding that you're working with a school board. Once again, you're part of a team. You're working with administrators. You're working with teachers. You're working with parents. You're working with students. But, you know, measuring my success, you know, one of the things that I think has allowed me to serve in this position in a number of different districts is understanding the team-like concept and beginning with the school board, the elected officials that are truly elected to govern the district. Understanding that, you know, being that they are elected by the individuals within a community, they set the priorities. They develop the policies. They rank me, or should I say, observe and evaluate me based upon the needs they find and how well I meet their priorities, how well I enforce their policies, and how well I correct the needs that they identify. So, I mean, that's the way that I look how I would be evaluated or how well I would do.
With the time remaining that we have, one of the things that we had spoken about briefly was changing attitudes towards education. And we know right now there's a lot of talk about the potential dismantling of the Department of Education. There's a lot of concern about what that actually may look like. From your perspective, looking out over the district, how are you approaching this?
Well, there's a great deal of concern. I think from anybody that's within the field at any level, if you're a proponent of public education and you believe in public education, it's kind of unsettling when you hear what's going on in D.C. with the dismantling, or should I say the closing, of the federal Department of Education. Yeah, it's definitely scary. I mean, there's no other way to put it, because, you know, that said, when you look at the Title I, you look at your IDEA monies for primarily your special ed students, you know, that those monies go directly towards your low-income communities. And that pretty much defines southwestern Pennsylvania to some degree, you know. So it is somewhat unsettling, you know. One of the things I see there, Adam, and I hear repeatedly that they're going to turn it over to the states. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, as long as, once again, if those monies come to the states, they need to understand that, you know, those monies still need to go to districts who suffer financially. You know, understanding that 95% of the students with disabilities throughout this great country are in public education. And, you know, and at the same time, understanding if those federal funding sources go to the state to be issued out to public schools, you know, keeping in mind that the state needs to maintain those civil rights protections for all forms of possible discrimination based upon race, gender, and disability. If the states do that, I think, you know, things will move accordingly as they have. But I think that the states need to understand that if the federal department does close down, that they do focus upon, you know, educating those students with those disabilities and making sure that they provide for any forms of discrimination.
The district is set to approve a new budget on Thursday evening. The budget represents a 5% jump from, I believe, $82 million to about $85 million. Mm-hmm. Is there any concern about the present state of the economy?
No, I don't believe so at McKeesport. You know, one of the things, as I mentioned earlier, when you look at the leadership up there, when you look at the governing body, you know, we're going to continue to look at and maintain some of the smaller class sizes for right now. You know, I mean, I don't see any reason to change that. Education services, you know, I don't see anything like that changing. If anything, we're going to improve it for the better. So, no, I don't see anything where it would affect from a national level of what's taking place, where it would affect the McKeesport in any way possible that would be viewed as negative. Absolutely not. We're going to provide for our students, and you have a school board and administration up there that is going to provide for them. There's no doubt about that. You know, once again, we offer Title I programming, you know, as far as reading, and then we're going to continue to offer those remedial services. Nothing like that would change. And at the same time, you know, the Individuals with Disabilities Act, you know, we're going to make certain that our students who fall under Chapter 14 and or Chapter 16, gifted or special education, receive the services and the education they require. They all will receive FAPE. As long as I'm at McKeesport, I can assure you of that.
Superintendent McPhan, it's been an absolute privilege to speak with you here today. I know we've had the chance to talk a little bit about your background. We've spoken about your educational philosophy. We've spoken about your commitment to communication, your belief in differentiated education and differentiated instruction. We've spoken about how you perceive the role of the community of parents, guardians, teachers, and school leaders, school board. My question is really this before we go. What would you like listeners to know when they think about the future of the district?
Well, once again, two things that I look at, and I know it's redundant, but, you know, first and foremost, team concept, including everybody. When I talk about stakeholders, I mean everybody. That starts with the students, through the teachers, through the administrators, and most importantly, the community members, the parents and guardians. You know, and communicating thoroughly with them and providing opportunities that not only prepares our students for the 21st century workforce, technology education and post-secondary education, but helps prepare our parents to help their kids do better, to help their kids understand, to help their kids perform to the best of their ability while in school on standardized tests and most importantly within society, you know, to be a good citizen and develop citizenship, you know, and communicate that effectively and appropriately with all stakeholders. You know, I would like them to know that. And just to close, I do, and I mean from my heart, I have the belief that all kids can learn. I've watched kids learn. All kids can learn, and everybody within a district, once again, all those stakeholders, teachers, administrators, students, parents and guardians, community members need to have that belief. It's just people learn differently. Some require more time. Some require different questioning. Some require different instruction. Some require different assessments. But at the end of the day, there's no student out there that can't learn. You know, and that's one of the things I've always thought, and it's one of the things I'll bring with me, and I'll continue to do everything in my power to make sure that comes true within the McKeesport Area School District.
Superintendent McPhan, thank you very much for speaking with us. This is Adam Reinhers filling in for Jason Tozier on Two Rivers 30 Minutes.
You've been listening to Two Rivers 30 Minutes, copyright Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Opinions expressed on this program are not those of Tube City Community Media Incorporated. Listener support makes this program possible. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible contribution, please visit our website at tubecityonline.com and click on the donate link. You can also get a free subscription to this program and other podcasts at our website using Apple's iTunes or Stitcher.com. If you've got a question or comment, we hope you'll write to us. Our address is Tube City Community Media Incorporated, P.O. Box 94, McKeesport, PA, 15134. You can email us at tubecitytiger@gmail.com or call us at area code 412-614-9659. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Tube City Online.